Connections. Hazırlayan ve sunan Tim Hallam.
Hoş geldiniz, iyi akşamlar, and welcome to another ripping, gripping edition of Connections. And tonight, I'm going to put this gentleman on the spot now. I've met him 5 minutes ago. I was going to have a film producer on here tonight, and she'd been going around the Czech Republic and filming and everything, and she said, oh, last week I can't come. And my friend Archie said, oh, it's all right. Calm down, he said. I've got someone from Manchester. You can do a show about Manchester. I thought, brilliant. So, good evening, Gordon.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. And thank you for coming in. And, well, I think you're going to share some stories about Manchester for us.
I hope so, yes. I've been following bands in Manchester now for about 30 years. So, one or two little anecdotes that I'm hoping your listeners will enjoy.
Well, I hope so too. I'm sure they will. It's like bringing a piece of Manchester to your radio. And I thought, well, I haven't got a Happy Mondays record, but I'm going to start off with a record from South Africa that was sampled by the Happy Mondays for Step On.
Mm-hmm.
It's by John Congos. Have you got any Happy Mondays stories?
I can tell you one. We were going to watch the Happy Mondays at the Arena in Manchester, which is the biggest concert venue.
Yeah.
Happy Mondays were in town. My friend at the time's wife was in the police force.
Right.
And she was telling me that the police in Salford were saying to the staff that if they wanted to take any holidays, take them that weekend, because every criminal in Salford would be at the Happy Mondays gig. That's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, why? But I mean, it's just going to keep everybody. It's all right. Archie's just walked in. Archie, just keep talking. I'll find where you are.
Ah, yeah, you good?
Say it again.
Who's going to step on you?
Again?
Who's going to step on you?
And one more time.
Who's going to step on you?
You.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr.
I got
DeMille.
There. Well, thank you for that. And now we've got the one and only from South Africa, John Congos. Woohoo!
Oh, no.
It's a vibe of Manchester with, I don't know, people from Manchester with a band or a bloke not from Manchester. That was John Congas, and he's going to step on you again. Good evening, Archie.
Good evening. That was some heavy T-Rex vibes there,
It was pretty heavy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, I don't know. Well, this is a Turkish DJ pressing of that. I don't know if there's any Turkish DJs out there that are playing that in 1971 looking for a T-Rex vibe, who's also not from Manchester, then give us a ring. Gordon, have you got any stories or tidbits not about the Stone Roses at all?
Not about the Stone Roses?
Yeah, or about the Stone Roses.
Yeah. Or about the Stone Roses.
It's your choice. I mean, it's, or anything, really.
I remember, Manny, who's the bass player in the Stone Roses, he lives just up the road from us in Heaton Moor, which is south of Manchester, near a small town called Stockport.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's a couple of nice bars around there that have acoustic sessions on, and one night he asked a good friend of his if they would care to do an hour's set. This was for somebody's birthday.
Right.
So it was kept very secret. The guy came into the bar in Heaton Moor and Liam Gallagher started playing.
Whoa.
Which was pretty cool. I was very gutted because I only found out about it the next day. But by all accounts, he did a full hour, and he was doing, this is quite late on then, so he did a few Oasis songs, but mainly his new social.
What's he got?
Solo.
Yeah,
stuff.
Solo stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's So he, were people? I mean, I suppose they were sort of glad that he was playing.
Yeah, the only thing was that it, and I'm amazed it didn't happen, but nobody recorded it.
It's always the way.
Just mind blowing nowadays. You'd think that would have been out, straight away on the internet, but for some reason, I've never been able to find it.
Maybe he was playing at Soho House and you're not allowed to take pictures or record.
Oh, like last night. Yeah.
Or they could have seized all mobile devices on the way out or something like that. And I'll have them we'll make a bootleg or something. But it's a shame.
Well, if Liam said it, I wouldn't argue with him.
You wouldn't want to part with it. I always remember watching, there was a documentary about Liam Gallagher. And somebody went round his house. I think it was sometime in the sort of late 90s, and they're sort of knocking on the door. He's like, "Mr. Gallagher, can we see you?" And he's like, "I'm not coming out. It's raining." Go on.
I was going to say that surprises me because he always wears his parka, I think, even in the house. Yeah. So he's.
Well, it's not one of them kids at school that can't get separated from it. It's probably like separation issues or something like that. And I'm not taking this parka out. Yeah. Is he still singing his parka?
Oh, he does.
Yeah. That's good. It probably adds to the sort of vibe, doesn't it?
I think the sponsorship deal's going on. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think he sings also with a condom on all the time. So he's got his raincoat and his raincoat on. So
well, it sounds like he's, something like that. It protects anything from coming out that's undesirable, doesn't it?
Another Gallagher,
Oh, anyway, I'm standing here. That was lovely, that. That was the Stone Roses from 90. I think it came out, I'm looking at the release dates, it came out on a one of those sort of shady bootleg albums that came out in Japan. It didn't give a date.
Mm.
But as far as I know, it was on Complete Stone Roses, which came out, I think it was when they were going through all that stuff with the label, Silvertone Records. So okay, I think it was probably about 91, 92, something like that. But I think it sounds like it was recorded.
Was that the same song or two different songs?
It was, well, it says it's the same song.
I'm in heaven when you smile.
You know, that I'm in heaven. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, you could call it I'm in heaven when you smile. You could call it I'm standing here. It's, you know, do you see the blue dress? Do you see the green dress?
No, but it was cool because that intro was really like a Hendrix vibe.
What, that bit that went, meow! Yeah, it was good, that part, yeah. I enjoyed it for that. And a lot of people, you know, listen to it, what's this? You included.
But so, Gordon was telling me earlier that that Hendrix actually played in Stockport. He had a story about that.
Wow.
Yeah,
amazing. There were always stories that he played in a pub in Stockport.
Oh, which I guess, like I said earlier, is where I live. And there's a guy who does video archaeology, basically a guy in Manchester.
Video archaeology? What, he digs VHSs up in people's gardens?
Not the VHSs that you may have had hidden under your bed.
Yeah,
no,
got one here. Yeah, spades, it's something plastic. Yeah.
But he finds forgotten parts of cities, towns, videos them. And anyway, I was on YouTube the other day and was doing a search for Hendrix, stumbled on this guy. And basically he'd done a video and showed, he'd found the actual nightclub, which obviously doesn't exist anymore, but where Hendrix had played in Stockport.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think it was, I'm not sure it was about 1967 maybe.
Yeah.
The only thing I know is that after Chas Chandler discovered Hendrix in Café Noir in Greenwich Village.
It's a great name for a cafe.
Oh, it's a fantastic venue as well. We've been a couple of times. But anyway, he brought him over to the UK, showed him to, you know, people like Clapton and Townsend, etc. in London, but then basically got a tour hastily put together and was dragging Hendrix everywhere and anywhere he could get him a gig. And one of the places, weirdly enough, was Stockport, which certainly wasn't on the musical map in those days. But
well, it's pre 10cc, isn't it? You know,
Which is a funny thing as well, was that Stone Roses track that's just been played, there's probably a good chance that was recorded in Stockport at Strawberry Studios.
Yeah, the 10cc ones.
Yeah. Same studio, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
There's a connection for you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the B-side of that Smith song now about Indian food, Girlfriend in a Korma. This is what's the title of this one again? It's a Scylla cover, isn't it? It's
Work is a four-letter word.
Yeah, Work's a four-letter word.
He's probably now doing that at like UKIP's a four-letter word.
Yeah.
Or something else.
UKIP's a four-letter acronym.
Acronym.
Here he is, Morrissey. I knew somebody who actually lives in Istanbul. Name's Carl. He used to go to the same cafe that the Smith used to rehearse at.
Is that right?
Yeah, I used to call him the Fifth Smith.
Here we are.
Loving you is driving me crazy. People say that you were born lazy, 'cause you say that work is a four-letter word. So change your life.
you.
And my love, I help to remind you to forget that work is a four-letter word. I don't need a house for the show place. I just feel that we're going no place. When you say that work is a four-letter word, so change your
any lemonade?
If you want.
Milk! Ugh! It's what Ian Rush drinks.
Ian Rush?
Yeah, and he said if I didn't drink lots of milk, when I grow up, then I'd be good enough to play for Accrington Stanley.
Accrington Stanley? Who are they?
Exactly. Now get off!
Give me some.
Do you ever play for Accrington Stanley, Gordon?
I've never played for anyone called Stanley, no.
Oh, well, this is... they always find him somewhere.
Hey, Tim, that last Smith track is exactly why Johnny Marr left the band.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told Morrissey, I don't want to do a bunch of Cilla Black covers, basically. And that was it.
Was that it? That he just
walked
out?
Yeah, he was like, no. That's not what I signed up for.
I can see him not liking that very much, definitely.
Yeah.
And we got a bit of a surprise for Gordon. Apparently, it's a band that you accidentally saw or didn't see. I can't remember now. The new Fast Automatic Daffodils.
Who's been telling Porky's here?
Well, your little bird told me. You know what I mean? I thought, yeah, this bloke's coming on. I bet he's been to a new Fast Automatic Daffodils concert.
Well, I sort of thought I had, and then for a while thought I hadn't.
Yeah.
Basically, they were playing at a venue in Manchester called The Ritz, which is a really famous old dance hall from, I think, from the 1920s.
Do they serve biscuits there?
Oh, that's cheesy.
Yeah, isn't it? He's on top form, this man.
So, anyway, yeah. So
I'm in pain here.
Me and my mate went along to see them, and... the support band came on and was so-so, but myself and Glyn had been smoking a few substances we shouldn't have.
Aye, Marlboro Lights.
Next band came on, who we thought were the new fads, Fast Automatic Daffodils. Yeah. And we started to think after about the second song, we don't know any of these. I thought, oh, there must be a new album coming out or something like that.
Well, it's like when you saw Liam down that place, or, you know, your mate saw Liam down that place doing his new stuff, or you're just getting some new material out, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly.
He looked like a new Fast Automatic Daffodil.
But anyway, at the end of this, the band finished playing, and myself and Glyn thought, well, yeah, that was a bit so-so, and sort of started heading for the exit, and then realised that nobody else was heading for the exit.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new Fast Automatic Daffodils!
Yeah! And basically, we found out there'd been two support bands, so we hadn't even seen them yet.
Oh,
so,
that's fantastic.
We had to turn around and go back, and they were good.
Must have been quite a good feeling, thinking you've seen the new Fast Automatic Daffodils, thinking that's mediocre, and then...
And then we actually saw them, so it was like, you know, two for the price of one.
It's not one of the best nights I ever. We'll be right back. Sound like a band you've heard, Gordon? that was definitely the new fast automatic.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. It wasn't the support band,
The new fast manual tulips or whatever they were. Yeah, something like that. We've got 10cc coming up. Got any 10cc stories?
I know there was always a question mark over where they got their name from.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I'm allowed to repeat or not.
A small motorbike, wasn't it?
Well, it was a small measurement, I know.
It can't be any different than Soft Machine or what's the other one? What's the name? Big Brown Cow and Get Out of Here. Steely Dan.
Steely Dan.
Those both came from Burroughs novels.
Yeah.
Vibrator names, basically.
Practically obscene publications, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. So where did 10cc come from?
Well, allegedly it's a measurement of the amount of,
space between the ears.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, space between the ears and, people come around with those big, what do you call them, glippers or whatever, and measure it, and, you're 10cc. But, they were sort of everybody's backing band at first. They were backing band for a guy called Ramesses, who was a bit crazy.
Okay.
And they did... You know, Hot Legs, Neanderthal
That's
Man.
That's right.
They did that. They just got that. What's the drummer? Lowell Krem, Kevin Godley, one of them. The one with the beard.
He
used to have the big beard, and then he had a jumper with like his own head on the jumper.
Yeah.
It was quite a sort of.
Sorry. It's like I'm watching. I'm watching the second set at a new fast automatic daffodils.
Yeah.
Here now.
Well, I mean, you could have seen Lowell Krem as a new fast automatic daffodil. But this is from an album called How Dare You. And it just looks like the 70s.
How Dare You?
Yeah, it's got a bloke at work, and then you can see his wife's at home smoking a fag. And there's like a bloke running into a sports car and the window behind him. But it's like a piece of 1975 right there.
Yeah. So am I.
Well, do you remember, the. I'm Not in Love track.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which was...
Big Boys Don't Cry.
Well, that's exactly it. That line, this was obviously recorded at Strawberry Studios again in Stockport.
Does this go back to the 10cc thing?
It is. No. And they built that studio, but the woman who said Big Boys Don't Cry was actually the secretary of Strawberry. And whilst the guys were recording I'm Not in Love, she actually came in. I think there'd been a phone call. They were obviously not answering the phone at all because in the middle of recording. She came in, said something, and they just said, "That's the voice."
And she was like,
I believe she was like, "You're not recording me." And they had to sort of convince her that, it was a good thing. And she's now been immortalised on that track.
We can just imagine them all there going, "Can you just help me out here?" Hello,
Big Boys Don't Cry.
That's it. That's the one. Well, here's Mandy. Fly me.
Ding dong.
Struck a chord. She fed me, she read me like a book. I'm hiding in the small print. Won't you take another look and take me away? Try me, Mandy, fly me away.
The world was spinning like a ball.
Station episode. Well, I'll go to the foot of our stairs. Soap operas and radio stations. It's just weird. I mean, why have a soap opera popping up on a radio show? I mean, who'd have thought it? But in the 70s, Indignation Street was a popular staple on the radio station's agenda. Of course, set in Manchester, it was the everyday story of a load of people who lived on a mucky street. And went out every Monday and Wednesday at 7:30. Here's an episode from 1977.
Hello, Jackie, Margaret and Barney. Are you wagging it off that shoe polish brush factory again?
Eh, Mrs. Merriweather, you won't sprag on us, will you?
You got any more of them beef and onion pies? I've got some out back, love. Hold on.
Oh, great. How oniony are they, Mrs. Merriweather?
Oh, they're right oniony. Really oniony. I mean, they'll take your head off. Oh, fab.
We've only got 55 and a half pieces. So can we share two between three of us?
That all goes the same way, love.
Oh, I haven't got half p.
Oh, you pay me back tomorrow, love.
Thanks, Mrs. Merriweather. Come on, Margaret, give me pie. It's 2 minutes past one already. Oh, no, look. Oh, God, it's Maldwin in his jag.
Oh, damn, I'm so through him.
All right, you lot. Well, 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 if it ain't the Three Musketeers. And how many shoe polish brush holes did you do this morning?
208, Mr. Maldwin.
Well, it's not good enough, love. I know your game. I saw your wagging elf out at 12:47. What's that in your hand? Oh, God, bloody hell. It's not one of them bloody beef and onion pies, is it?
Yes, Mr. Maldwin, it is.
Is it one of them really oniony ones and all?
Yes, Mr. Maldwin, it is.
Oh, God, you're going to stink the bloody place out. You'd better brush your teeth, and I'll take it off your wages.
Oh, don't worry, Margaret. I've got some toothpaste in my bag, love. We'll talk about this at the Dolomites getaway tonight.
Yeah, I could do with a trip to the pub. You're right, Arthur. Aye. Pint a mile, please, Bob. Well, you normally order 2 pints. Aye. One's for my brother in Australia, Terry. But, normally have a pint for him. Oh, is he all right, Terry? No, this one's for him. I've given up drinking. Oh, it's been a hard day at Pigeon Post. When's next edition coming out then, Arthur? Be Wednesday, I think.
Hello, Arthur. You drinking again? I'm going to tell your missus. I know you're so sneaking off in here, saying it's for your brother.
Now, you mind your own business, Mrs. Bogdan.
It is my business. You wait till I see your missus.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Merriweather, love. You look a bit flummoxed.
Ah, somebody's stolen all the beef and onion pies. The oniony ones. What we going to do?
Take songs from pretty much anywhere. right, many of their own, or any of us of their own.
That was from 1971. That was the Hollies. I can confirm. You thought it was CCR.
I really did. Yeah.
Well, you could have gone to a CCR concert and thought there were new fast automatic daffodils. And no one would have been any the wiser, would they?
Yeah.
It was the Hollies. Minus Graham Nash. We're just saying that Graham Nash left the Hollies because essentially they wanted to put Puff the Magic Dragon onto the playlist. And Graham thought that was a bad idea. I'm going off with David Crosby and Stephen Stills.
There you go.
And then we'll have Young, Gifted and Black later, whatever it was. Yeah.
So, Gordon actually has a story about Indignation Street.
Oh, Indignation Street. Yeah, yeah. Gordon, give it to us.
Well, that just reminded me. Right. I used to work in Manchester at the local newspaper.
Kind of the theme of the show.
Which was just round the corner from Granada Studios, where they used to record Indignation Street.
Yeah.
And a Christmas party one year was actually held at the studio.
This has got disaster written all over it.
It does. So part of the Christmas party was that they basically took us around the set. So down the street, etc., you could see all the houses.
Yeah.
The shop, and then into the Rover's Return.
Did you have a beef and onion pie because it was Christmas?
You know, there were none left.
Oh. Especially the oniony ones.
You know, especially the oniony ones.
Oh,
yeah.
Christmas, God.
So we were in the Rover's Return, had a few beers, but then realised that with it being a film set, the Rover's Return didn't have a gents' toilet.
No, really?
Which was a bit of a blow. So me and a friend of mine from work thought we'd sneak out and try and find somewhere to go and relieve ourselves. And, yeah. Basically ended up relieving ourselves up Emily Bishop's back passage.
Well, dear, oh dear, oh dear. Were there any oniony beef and onion pies there in the way?
Luckily not, and luckily there were no cameras either. So,
well, that's...
though I can't believe I've just admitted that on air.
The Christmas special 1979 there, that was the Christmas.
I don't know what Emily thought of it.
Profits going up the wall and all that kind of thing. I don't know about that. Got a bit of magazine coming up.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah, this is from 1978. And it's supposed to be post-punk, but this one's quite punky. Mm. So it goes like this. We'll be right back. Yeah, that was that kind of ran out on us. That was Real Life by magazine. It was just magazine without the article, isn't it? Yeah. You could have an article in a magazine, but that's magazine without an article.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a good joke, that. Where do you find magazine without an article? Yeah.
Yeah.
Our Devoto. I laughed. The Fall. Gordon, Fall, anything?
You got nothing, huh?
No, I'm sorry. It's one of those bands. I don't know why, but they sort of bypassed me. I know Archie's a big fan, but...
No, I mean, the only thing I can say, I saw them play, I think it was like, I don't think it exists anymore, but it was called like K-Bar or something like that. I saw them play. The only thing, I think I saw them when kind of their off period, so I was just like smoking cigarettes.
You sure it wasn't the new Fast Automatic Daffodils second cover?
About that, yeah.
They get around.
There were no Canadian cigarettes that night.
It's a shame.
So what was I going to say? You were going to tell a story, though, about your days back at the paper.
Please.
Oh, no. Yeah?
Yeah, no, go on, no. Tell your story about that. That was interesting.
Oh, it was a bit embarrassing, but really? We were flying, when we flew over to Istanbul yesterday, my lovely wife picked up a copy of the Sun newspaper. I don't know how many people are aware of that. That newspaper, which I put in inverted commas, really, I'm not really sure it is a newspaper.
Yeah.
But they have, I think they still have a page 3.
She's much more shy now.
I think she is a little bit more
normally
shy.
Somebody wearing a cheap outfit, right?
Yeah.
But so, as I said, back in the day when I used to work at the local newspaper in Manchester, they had a sports section on a Saturday called the Football Pink.
Right.
And in those sort of non-PC days, they used to have a Miss Pink.
Okay. Yeah. That's follows.
Yeah. So at the time, I think I'd have been...
She's now Mrs. Pink.
That's yeah. Mrs. Crimson. Mrs. Crimson. It's gone a bit darker.
Oh, I think she was killed with a lead pipe, wasn't she, in the library?
That was it. Lead pipe in the bathroom or something. Yeah. By Professor Plum.
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah.
Don't say Plum on air.
Yeah. Steady.
But I was just going to say that I'd been saying to Archie that, there was the Miss Pink, but at the time I was like a messenger at the newspaper, so I really low down junior. I used to have to go and run errands, and all the messengers on a Friday would be finding excuses to go to the photo library because obviously that week's Miss Pink would be arriving and having her photos taken. I'm ashamed now to admit that, of course.
Yeah. Just down in the photo library.
Down at the photo library at midnight. Yeah.
Nowadays they just do that in some kind of digital realm. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you could be anywhere, couldn't you?
But bunch of zeros and ones, and that's it.
That's it. Just print it out.
Yeah.
Miss Pink. Binary code. Anyway, we got The Fall, and this is the first track off side one of Ben Sinister, which is no reference to Miss Pink at all. And this is a song about Rod Stewart, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Rod.
The Mighty Fall.
Here it is.
Approaching realm of darkness.
OD Rod by The Fall, Mark E. Smith and friends. I don't know about you, but you can never actually tell what Mark E. Smith's saying on any of those songs, but yeah. You kind of know what he means.
Yeah. I think what I heard is like discussing like being really late night at a pub and the patrons that walk in on that.
Yeah.
And kind of like we discussed this earlier, this kind of drunken psychedelia, if you can call it. You drink so much and then. It feels psychedelic.
Yeah, track two, he goes on to talk about the new Fast Automatic Daffodils,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Who doesn't, though?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's one of those things that just eludes you. A lot of people think they've seen them, but they've not.
Have you heard them before tonight, be honest?
I've heard of them. I couldn't have named a new Fast Automatic Daffodils song.
We were talking, what was the band that used to play in, what were they called? A Certain Ratio. They had a kind of Certain Ratio vibe with like a little bit of a harder sort of thing.
It was, yeah, I get that, yeah. With the bass line, it's pretty driving.
I liked it, yeah.
Oh, it was lovely. Yeah. Anyway, it's, believe it or not, it's time for us to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
It's been fantastic.
There's like 3 minutes by my watch.
Well, I mean, we'll talk for 3 minutes we've got Simon kicking and screaming on the door and all that sort of thing. And
I love that band.
Yeah.
Yeah, they played same time as new Fast Automatic.
What, Simon kicking and screaming at the door?
Carter, the Unstoppable Sex Machine, and Simon and kicking and screaming at the door.
Simon kicking and screaming at the door. It's
Simon and his amazing dancing bear. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
No, I'm sure my age. Now.
I remember it. I had a version of the Muppets doing it.
Honestly.
Yeah, you know Scooter off the Muppets.
Uh huh.
That was the first time I heard that. But I think isn't it?
It was Alan Price.
He did it, but who wrote it? Was it that American fella? What's his name? Randy Newman. One of his, or Nielsen.
Short
or
people have no reason.
I think one of them people. It's quite a, it's one of those songs that's supposed to have great social and political import, probably, but it's just elided us, really. So, any last stories of Manchester before we go, Gordon?
I'll see you there.
No. Slaughter and the Dogs, you want to tell that?
Oh, we were just talking earlier, myself and Archie, about a band called Slaughter and the Dogs, came out in the punk era.
Uh-huh.
Used to play at the
Ropey.
Yeah, they're a bit ropey.
Aye.
Used to play at the Electric Circus, and they were heavily influenced, by the Sex Pistols and David Bowie. I don't really know how the
that's a combination, sort of isn't it?
Put the two together, but I was just saying to Archie that their name, Slaughter and the Dogs, actually came from the David Bowie album Diamond Dogs,
uh-huh.
And then the slaughter bit actually comes from a lyric which was a track on the Heroes Bowie album that had come out that year, 1977. And there was also a bootleg that used the same line, which was Slaughter on the Wind. So they just put the two together. They were called Slaughter on the Dogs. They lasted for about, I think, about a year. But their claim to fame was that their guitarist, and his first name's just escaped me now, his surname's Duffy. What was he?
Peter Duffy? No.
No.
Kevin Duffy?
Struggling now. But he ended up being the guitarist in The Cult.
Oh, yeah, Ian Duffy.
Yes, I've played him once on the
was
show.
Was it Ian
I'm
Duffy?
Sure.
No.
No, I've just gone blank.
Chadsworth Duffy.
That could have been him, yeah.
that bloke, he used to play tambourine for the Newfast Automatic Daffodils, yeah. I think. Anyway,
on that bombshell.
Is there anyone you want to say hello to?
Oh, go on.
Say hello to anyone who might be listening.
Hi, Aileen.
In the Stockport area, and I sincerely apologise to Emily Bishop.
Well, yeah, Emily, she's already called in. Hilda Bogdan. She's been sitting on that phone, I tell you.
Her sister Shirley Cardinal is on the line.
Surely. Anyway, it's been fantastic having you on, and anytime you pop in by next time, come all.
Thanks, I've really enjoyed it.
And if you're ever in Manchester, you should probably do the same, yeah?
Well, I think so.
Yeah. Have an onion-y pie.
Well, yeah, especially beef and onion pie, but especially onion-y.
Yeah, yes.
But, onion-y. May your beef and onion pies always be onion-y. Anyway,
to be sure, to be sure.
Good night from me, and it's good night from...
Good night from good Gordon. Night.
And good night. And just before we go, can you just give us a 10cc chorus?
Big boys don't cry.
Good night.
10cc foam.
Connections. Hazırlayan ve sunan Tim Hallam.